بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Some person came and complained to us, Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. I am seriously ill and I can't attend the namazes at the Haram Sharif. So I'm very remorseful for this, that I'm reading my namaz in my apartment and I'm deprived of the sawab of the Haram Sharif. This was the gist of the complaint. Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali made dua for him, looking at the person's understanding, and his understanding of deen, made dua for him and he allowed him to carry on. But then he went on to say that this person is an abid. He is not an arif. He is an ordinary worshipper. He doesn't possess the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly. Had he been a person who recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wouldn't have been remorseful. The reason is that just as one means of drawing close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Haram Sharif, then the other means of drawing close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be worshipping Him in your apartment at the time of illness. Good health and illness both come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When both come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not coming of your own choice. In the state of weak health, ill health, what you were required to do, you have done. You were required to worship Him in the manner that you can manage. So you have done that in that state. When you have done that in that state that you were in, your reward is not decreased in any way. You have got the same reward. So when you've got the same reward, you have got the same type of relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what's the need for you to complain and to feel remorseful? So this person has gained the ibadat, but the recognition of Allah ta'ala he hasn't gained. So in the state that Allah ta'ala keeps you, then a slave needs to be happy that Allah ta'ala has kept me in this state. I need to be happy in this very condition. And in this very condition, Allah Ta'ala will be pleased with me. There are two types of halat and conditions that come over a person. One is health, abundance, ease, etc. So he's got all this. He's got health, he's got abundance, he's got ease, he's got comfort, he's got the means. So this is one condition. And the other condition is the condition of constraint, difficulty, straitened circumstances, duress. So this is the second situation. And both these situations come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the righteous servants of Allah ta'ala went through the both. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam was a king. He had ease, abundance, good health, comfort, all that he had. And then you have a person like Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam. He remained in the belly of the fish for 40 days. Difficulty, constraint, difficulty, uneasiness, right? But both of them hadn't forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the state that they were in. So the type of closeness and proximity Sulaiman alayhi salam got in the abundance, in the ease, then the same type of proximity Yunus alayhi salam had got in the state of constraints and difficulty. Yeah. So what is required of the servant, what is required of him is in the circumstance that he is thrown in, he must be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not complaining, or why am I in this position and why is that person in that position. Why that happens, that Allah Pak knows best. Yusuf alayhi salam, it's not his choice, out of his choice, but he's thrown into prison for approximately 9 years. Then there's attempted murder by their own brothers, right? Then he is severed from his father for approximately 40, 50 years, according to tafsir. Approximately 40 to 50 years then he is severed from his father, right? So he's gone through all these difficulties, and not of his own choice. You can't say it was his guna, because from the time that he was thrown into the well, he was an infant, 6, 7 years of age. Right, till he was released out of prison, then it was approximately 40, 50 years from then. Right. So will you say that Yusuf alayhi salam, na'uzu billah, was thrown out of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala? No, he still enjoyed that very same proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wasn't thrown out from the proximity and the closeness of Allah Ta'ala. Why it happened, Allah Pak knows. The reason why it happened, he knows. But what you get afterwards, that we need to understand, what we will get. So the hadith says very, very clearly that many a times Allah Ta'ala wants to elevate a person. He wants to elevate him to the pinnacles of glory and success. But he doesn't have the stamina to get up to that position. He doesn't have the physique, he doesn't have the type of stamina, he doesn't have the type of strength. So when he doesn't have the type of stamina, he doesn't have the type of strength, and he needs to be pushed on. He needs to be pushed on. When he needs to be pushed on, how must he be pushed on? But he doesn't have the strength to do the type of nafal, zikr, Quran Sharif, etc., to reach up there. So Allah Ta'ala puts him into some difficulty. In that difficulty, he is to be patient. When he's patient, then Allah Ta'ala elevates him, Allah Ta'ala exalts him. So this is another way how Allah Ta'ala exalts and takes up his servants. Okay. On the day of Qiyamah, when these people that had not been patient, they didn't have that opportunity to be patient, to be tolerant, when they see the rewards of those people that were tolerant, right? And they will see then the rewards are so enormous and so great. And now, when you're already on that end, you are in Jannat, you are already in the next realm, you can't reverse. You're gone forever. It's just one single opportunity that you get, and you're gone from here. Now you can't reverse the situation. When you can't reverse the situation, now you're seeing rewards. Your reward you're seeing, and the rewards of the patient you are seeing. So, the two rewards that are very outstanding for the patient, for those that tolerated, one is, يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. They get into Jannat without any reckoning. Or in unmeasurable reward Allah Ta'ala grants them. He grants them rewards, in numerous rewards. So that's the one reward. And the second reward that Allah Ta'ala blesses them is, that those that did not tolerate, when they see these people's reward, they will desire that if our entire bodies were ripped with scissors, ripped, you know, the type of pain that you go through, difficulty, someone is ripping your body, they put a clamp on your finger, how you feel. Now here, the whole body is being ripped. And then you have to tolerate. And for that tolerating, what rewards comes out? So say we are prepared to go to that, just in order that we can deserve the reward of those that were patient. But it is the day of Qiyamah, you can't reverse things. So what we need to understand is, in the condition Allah Ta'ala keeps us, we need to be happy, we need to be pleased. We don't ask for difficulties to come our way, we don't ask and we don't request, nor do we desire for problems to come our way. We ask for afiyat, ask for ease all the time. But in the event it comes, then take it in the stride. Then don't say, you know, why had this to come to me? Of all people, what wrong have I done? What wrong has my child done? what wrong has my wife done? Why has this problem come to me? Affected with jadu, or this problem here, and that problem, whatever else. But why am I struck with this problem? So don't ask why this thing came. The one that is the grand planner, he knows why he's put you in this position. You don't need to ask why. Yes, you need to know what to do under the circumstance. First, you need to understand your position. We are slaves. When we are slaves, then we cannot make our own choices. Right? An architect is planning out a house. When he's planning it out, so on one section of the land, he says that this will be the lounge. Then on this section will be the kitchen. And this section will be the dining. And then this will be the bedroom. And this will be the toilet. Right? So the land that he chose to be the toilet, if that thing comes and complains to him, you know, what wrong have I done to you, that of all the land you have to put, of all the places you have to put the toilet onto me, you know, couldn't you put the lounge on myself, or the bedroom on myself? Now all the dirtiest and all the filthiest things are coming and landing onto me. So the architect will say, see, I'm the boss, and I call the shots, I make the decision. You just do as I say. Otherwise, every piece of land will complain like how you are complaining. If I shift you around, then that land will also complain, and the third land will also complain. See, so I am the boss, I will call the shots. Overall, Allah Ta'ala makes considerations for everybody. Everybody makes considerations. The hadith says, when Allah Ta'ala was allocating duties to the malaika, to the angels, right? So, Malakul Maut and the angel of death, when his duties were being allocated to him, then he excused himself. Allah Ta'ala, excuse me from this. Because everybody in the earth, they are attached to their dear and near ones, their fathers, their children, their wives, they are attached. When they are attached to their near and dear ones, and they understand that I was the one that was responsible to take away the soul of the near and the dear ones, then they will all hate me. And nobody wants to be hated. Do you want to be looked down with contempt? Nobody wants to be looked down with contempt. Everybody wants to be liked. Now all the whole world will come, oh, Malakul Maut came here now. Again, I don't know why he had to do this. Who came? What happened to you? No, Malakul Maut came. What he did? He took my son's soul away. So everybody will look down upon him with contempt. And nobody wants this to happen. So Malakul Maut complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the whole world would look at me with despise. And I don't want this. So Allah ta'ala explained to Malakul Maut, you don't worry about this, that we will arrange. We will sort that out. So you don't worry about that. We will arrange a plan for you. People will not blame you. They will not accuse you. They will not hate you. They will not dislike you. So Allah Ta'ala thereafter made means. Right? So when a person dies, or what happened to this person? Or he died in an accident, or he died of a heart attack, he died of sugar. What happened to him? Or this person died of cancer. What happened to this person? No, he was involved in a shooting incident, right? Or armed robbery. So the death is not attributed then to Malakul Maut. Although Malakul Maut came and took away the soul, the death is not attributed to him. Who is it attributed to? It's attributed to the cause. You won't hear anywhere. Anywhere you won't hear, hey, Malakul Maut had to come here to hospital again. Say, no man, this man, he caused it for himself. He wasn't careful about his diet. He was just taking it. You know? One friend of mine was telling me that he's some cousin or someone was in hospital and the sugar wasn't just going down. Now they're trying everything. The specialists are there. Good hospital, state of the art. But the sugar is not just going down. They're administering this medication, this precaution, whatever else. But why isn't the sugar just going down? Then I think 1 week later, the nurses had to clean up. So they found, under the mattress, they found big, big slabs of chocolate. Every day I was finishing two. So the death will be attributed to what? To the cause. not to Malakul Maut. People won't blame and people won't accuse the Malakul Maut. They say, no, in accident, he wasn't careful about how he's driving, armed robbery. So the cause is attributed, the death is attributed to the cause, not to Malakul Maut himself. But it is Malakul Maut that is pulling out the soul. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. And then Malakul Maut is responsible to pull out the soul of all things. With all humanity, Malakul Maut pulls out their souls. Right? Other creatures, how their souls are pulled out, Allah Pak knows. Some say that when their life ends, their tasbih ends. Every creature recites and glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. That each creation, it gets life and it gets rosy because of tasbih. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. That's why they say that if you're having constraints in your livelihood, then this is a very effective dua to read. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Every creation gets its rosy because of Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Recommended to recite between the Fajr, Sunnat and Faraz 300 some odd times for barakat in sustenance and rosy. So when that particular creation's time has terminated, then its tasbih stops. When the tasbih stops and it dies, whether someone killed it, whether it was ill, whether it was smashed, whatever happened, but it dies at that point, or it was caught, a fish is caught in a net, or it's caught on casting, whatever it is. But when did it come on the line? Came on the line when it stopped the tasbih. It stopped the tasbih and there it went. So the moment the tasbih stops, and the life goes. So that is the case with all other creations. Right? That is the view of some ulama. And other ulama feel now there are other malaika that are responsible to pull out the soul of other creatures. Malakul Maut himself, he says that it's so easy for me to pull out the souls of people. He says, all the soul of the entire creation are before me like grains on a tray. You know, there are grains on the tray. So all they are laid out on tray. To pull it out, how easy it is. He says, it's so easy for me to pull out their souls. But he says, by the same token, I cannot pull out the soul of any person without divine permission. It's only with divine permission that I can pull out the soul. Otherwise, I can't pull out the soul, even of a mosquito I can't pull out. So he doesn't have the strength. He'll only have the strength with consent from above. He's got the consent, then he can pull out. Otherwise, can't do anything. But it is so easy for him to pull out the soul at the time of death. It's quite famous of the founder of Aligarh University, Sir Sayyid. At some time in his life, he was a little bit like a modernist. So he had some good qualities in him also, but he was more a modernist. His intention must have been right. Whatever he was doing was for the upliftment of the Muslims. That was his outlook. I must do things for the upliftment of Muslims. Wherever he could help it, he was in that, trying to uplift the Muslim. Now you're talking of the late 1800, 1850s, 1870s, when there was a lot of mutiny and problems in India, constraints, difficulties to get a job and all that wasn't an easy thing. The English had come in and things were very, very, very difficult for the Indians at large. Our grandfathers were there at that time. And then just then you find that many of the grandparents all had moved on to South Africa, 1860, 1870, 1880. But there was a lot of problem at that time in India, a lot of constraint. So one person went for a job interview. In the interview they asked him, "Boy, who are you?" "So you're asking me who I am? I am the son-in-law of Sir Sayyid Sir." Now in the meanwhile, the Englishman that was doing the interview at the time, he phoned up secretly to Sir Sayyid Saab, that this person comes in with this name, and this is what he says, that he is your son-in-law. See? our Indians are too smart, you see, they're too smart. Some story or the other they'll put up and they'll make a plan, you see. Yeah. One Indian was working for the English, those days, those years in India, working for an Englishman. So the Englishman got angry with him. He said, go to hell, go to hell. So he went out, after 2 hours he came in. But I told you to go to hell. So now I went there. But when I reached up the gates of hell, they told me, no, no, this place here is meant for all strong, haughty Englishmen. There's no place for Indians here. So I had to come back, you see. So anyway, he went for this interview and Sir Sayyid Sajab says, yes, yes, this is my son-in-law and you better give him the job. Anyway, he secured the job for himself. 6 months, 5 months down the line, he came to pay his respects to Sayyid Sahab. Who are you, bhai? He says, no, no, I am the same stupid person. When I went for the job interview, I took your name. I took your name and I got the job secured. So Sir Sayyid Sahab, as I say, he looked for the interests of the Muslims at large. Though some of his things were out of line, but he looked at the Muslim interest. The wrong is wrong. We don't support the wrong. We don't condone the wrong. Right? But if the person did a right, then we acknowledge the right as well. This is a Muslim. This is how Islam looks at the person. So we don't mix the both. Sometimes what happens to people, we mix the both. Because of the right he's doing, then we condone the wrong that he's doing. Now he's a member of parliament or he's some very influential person. So the wrong that he's doing, then we will condone the wrong as well. That's not right. The wrong is wrong. Whether it is Mandela or whether it is a pauper in the street. If he's doing a wrong, he's doing wrong. The right we will acknowledge, but the wrong is wrong. The same happens when a person does something right, though he's wrong his entire life and he does something right, then we'd acknowledge the right. So the right and the wrong is totally distinguishable. لِيَمِيزَ اللَّهُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ Right and wrong are totally two different entities. We can distinguish one from the other. We can't mix one with the other. Like it is common nowadays, because of the right, so we'll now make the wrong also right. Or sometimes because of the wrong that he's doing, the good that he is doing also, you will ignore it, you will forget it. So that's not Islam. The wrong we will recognize as wrong, and the right we will recognize as right. So anyway, he comes to Sir Sayyid Sahab, and he says, Sir Sayyid, that you know what, this is this person, I'm the stupid person, I use your name and I secured the job for myself. So I look at this person and say, Sayyid Sahab, and how his outlook and how he viewed things is not. You know what? It's a pity that I had two daughters and I've given them both in marriage. I don't have the third daughter. But now I don't have any other choice. The production is closed now. Now the production is closed, I can't make a third daughter, right? So it's closed. Now, what I will do from today onwards, I will treat you as my son-in-law and your wife as my daughter. And he didn't just say it lip service. Then he meant it literally. He meant it literally. And then he would invite them like he would invite his own children. Eid, Bakrid, or whatever, vacation, whatever it is, he would call them. And the type of gifts that he will confer to his own children, he would confer to this person as well, right till the end. So overall, he looked at the Muslim interest. Though, as I say, in certain things he was corrupt, he was wrong. Like in his modernism, his approach, some of his beliefs were wrong. His reinterpretation of the Quran Sharif, that's a section on its own. So he was traveling by train once, Sir Sayyid Sahab, he was traveling by train, accompanied with his small dog. So some person, some alim comes in, and tells him, "Bhai, tum to ajeeb kisam ke aadmi ho, Musalman ho kar ke kutte se phirte rehte ho. You're a very strange type of a person. You're a Muslim and you got this dog and you're running around with this dog. What's wrong? What's your problem? So he turns around and says, you know what, I've heard from the ulama that the malaika don't accompany a person that has got a dog, see. So now I've got this dog as a security against death. See, it's a death security. Death won't come to me now. No, but he didn't know who he was talking to. It was Mu'adul Hayy Laknawi Sahib Rahmatullahi, great Muhaddis, great Alim of India. He was talking to him. So Mu'ad told him, Akhir, is kutte ki ruh bhi koi qabz karne wala hai. There must be some angel that will take away the soul of this dog as well. There must be some angel that will take away the soul of this dog. Said, yeah, that's true. Well, your soul will be taken by the same angel that pulls out the soul of this dog. Spontaneously found the answer for him. That was Mawla Abdul Hayy Laknawi Sahib. So Sayyid saw the answer and the brilliant answer that came. He asked, are you Mawlana Abdul Hayy Laknawi? He said, yes. And Mawla saw Sir Sayyid and his sharpness and his smartness. He says, are you Sir Sayyid? He said, yes. They didn't know each other. And just by one, two statements, they recognized, identified, introduced each other. So what we're getting at is this relaxation, this concession that the Sharia has given. Where the Sharia has given you a concession, you accept it. And when you accept that concession, then don't feel deficiency within your heart. No, I've went on the path of concession and relaxation, so I haven't been credited with the full reward. You will still get the full reward. The founder of Darul Dioban, he was in his final illness and he was struggling. And in that state, he insisted that he'll make wuzu. In the meanwhile, another buzurgar pulled in, Mawla Muhammad Yaqub Sahib, also a great alim, muhaddis. So he reprimanded this founder of Darul Dioban, Mawla Qasim Sahib. He said, you think that this is the only way that you will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Remember, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُحِبُّ أَن يُؤْتَى رُخَسُهُ كَمَا يُحِبُّ أَن يُؤْتَى عَزَائِمُهُ. You feel that you can only reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you are behaving in this manner, not accepting the concessions of Allah ta'ala. Remember, this is also a way of accepting, this is also a way of reaching Allah ta'ala, that you receive His concessions, you embrace them wholeheartedly. Allah ta'ala loves that I made a concession for my servant and he's accepted it. I've made this concession, I've made this consideration for him, and he has wholeheartedly accepted this consideration, rather than refusing to accept that consideration. The boss in your company, right, he makes a concession for your consideration for you. Right? Doesn't he pay you full? You got sick leave and he pays you full. You're supposed to come to work, but you fell ill. You presented your excuse. He pays you full. He doesn't cut off your salary in any way. So Allah Ta'ala is most merciful. Yeah, an ordinary boss, who's a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he pays you for your sick leave. Won't Allah ta'ala pay you? He will pay you also in full. Though you perform your namaz at home, you perform your namaz in the hospital bed, right? You perform your namaz and you were not fully clean because you were in the hospital. And you couldn't do all your postures because you had the drips attached to you. Or you were in a position that you can't make all those postures. You were hurt. You couldn't make all those postures. And you made your namaz in the way that you could do, with the indication of your head, etc., whatever the doctor recommended, right? You had performed your namaz in that way. But you've got the full reward. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُحِبُّ أَن يُؤْتَى رُخَسُهُ كَمَا يُحِبُّ أَن يُؤْتَى عَزَائِمُهُ. So, it's not just one single way in reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as many of us think. But we have to do, we have to leave out all these concessions and go straight. Yes, one is concessions, and one is laziness. That is not on. Laziness, you got the strength, you got the time, you got the available means, and then too, you don't do the work. You got the time, you've got the means, and you don't do the work. Then this obviously is not on, it's not the right thing. Then it's sheer laziness. But you can do it, why aren't you doing it? You've got the means, everything is available to your disposal, why aren't you doing it then? So this is not on, this is not liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't accept this. Where you are in that predicament, you are in a situation And then you are doing, you are accepting those concessions of Allah Ta'ala, those considerations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala doesn't mind. Man is sick. Now he can't perform his namaz with jamaat, he's performing it at home. He can't perform his namaz with wuzu, he's doing tayammum. But he's performing his namaz. Right? Allah Ta'ala instructs the malaika that as you've been writing his rewards previously, that he used to perform the namaz with jamaat, lengthy rakat he used to perform, and this amount of zikr he used to make, this amount of tasbih he used to make. O malaika, you record and credit the same amount of reward for him. Don't decrease his reward. He used to fast all the way he used to fast. And he used to perform namaz with jamaat, he used to be in the first row. Right? He used to get the takbira ula. He used to recite so much of Quran Sharif. Now he's lying in the hospital bed. He can't manage it, he can't fast. And he can't perform the namazes with jamaat. He can't get the first row, he can't get the takbir ula. But O malaika, you make sure that you write down the full reward for him. See? Now look at the grace, look at the compassion and the love of Allah Ta'ala for his servants, that you're not doing the work. You are strapped to the bed, you can't come. But he is commanding those malaika that you write, you make sure that the same amount of reward is credited to your name. Yes, if you then recuperate, you come back normal, then you are continuing like you were doing previously. Like you were doing previously, you continue again. So Allah Ta'ala then commands the malaika, now you carry on writing for him, like you used to write for him when he was well, he was healthy, and he was managing. So you see, this concessions of Allah Ta'ala, under the circumstances, you accept it, Allah Ta'ala likes it. And you're always leaving out the concessions, then what are you trying to imply? What are you trying to imply? Once Rasulullah had accepted some type of concession, like for example, not fasting whilst on a journey. At that time now, you know, the temperatures are very high, very, very high. Badr and Ramadan, they're going out. Temperatures are very, very high, 50 degrees, 55 degrees. It's a time that the dates are ripening. Now they have to engage in jihad. And Rasulullah is allowing them not to fast. And some sahabi did not accept this concession. And he felt a little bit uncomfortable accepting this concession. So Rasulullah reprimanded them. What's wrong with you? I am accepting this concession of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know Allah ta'ala more than you know. I fear Allah Ta'ala more than you fear, yet I am accepting the concession, then why aren't you? In other words, if you are still not accepting those concessions, rejecting them, then you are implying that you know Allah Ta'ala more than I know. And you are implying that you are more God-fearing than I am God-fearing. So when I am instructing you that you accept these concessions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then why aren't you accepting this concession? So the person that is rejecting those concessions, then as though he's feeling that, no, I can only reach Allah Ta'ala if I ignore these concessions entirely and I just go like this in a rigid, firm way. That's how the hadith says, when a person becomes hard, then Allah Ta'ala is hard on him as well. When he's rejecting and he's abandoning, he's not considering this. Man shadda, shadda Allahu alayhi. Man shaddada, shadda Allahu alayhi or shaddada Allahu alayhi. You are being hard, and you are ignoring these concessions, then Allah Ta'ala also will be hard on you, make things difficult for you. That how much will you manage? You are a servant, and a servant needs to show his desperation, his weakness, his inability before the master. That's what the servant needs to show, that he's unable, he's desperate, he's weak. Allah Ta'ala put you through this weakness, through this difficulty and this pain, that you show your weakness. But in this also you're showing your bravery. When I put you into this weakness and this sickness, this illness, you are showing your strength. So man shadda, you are showing that you are very strong and you're being hard and you're being harsh. So Allah Ta'ala will make deen and make work also difficult for you. So the easy thing is, you don't be lazy. You do work with determination. But when you are really in a predicament, then you accept the concession. And under normal circumstances, you go on the right way, without accepting, without taking on the concession. Without taking on the concession, you go on full. But when the difficulty comes on, then you accept those concessions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is pleased in this way, Allah ta'ala is pleased in that way. Like this is one way to reach up to Allah ta'ala, then this is another way to reach up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when He's put you into a difficulty, you are accepting the difficulty. He's granted you concession, you are accepting that concession. So this is the way of a person who recognizes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the one that doesn't have the recognition of Allah ta'ala, then all the time is going on the difficult path always. As a result, the path also becomes difficult for him. Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq.